Welcome, everybody, to the season finale of the Chronicles of Vaven Gula. Esten, you just lopped the head off of a Heim. It dissipates and you all feel like a lifting that you've kind of been feeling, like a heavy feeling is now gone. But as the Heim disappears, the mine rumbles, rocks fall from the ceiling, and you hear in the distance, deeper in the mine, a loud growl. What do you guys do?
Pissed something off.
I guess there's something worse here than just this Heim. Cass is Kage all right?
I don't know.
I go and slap the cleric.
She was hurt pretty bad.
I go and slap the cleric. Hey. Ah,
why'd you? Hey. What the fuck?
Are you okay?
Yeah. Where am I?
You are in the mines of Ellingfall.
I don't remember anything. Last thing I remember is walking into the mine. Who are you? Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Catherine Flamebringer. This is Cass, and this is Esten.
What happened? Where are the guards I was with?
One got his throat slit by his fellow companions.
What? Why would...
And...
That makes no sense.
Wait, how many were you with?
I was with 10.
10. Well, we only saw 5. So one got his throat slit by his own companions after I dispelled magic on him. The other 4 is standing in a fog cloud somewhere.
Your men have been possessed by an ancient specter that we've dealt with for now, so you snapped out of it.
Esten, I don't think we dealt with that.
With this Heim, we did. Not with the overall situation, I mean.
No.
last thing I remember is we were on the 80th floor, and then I have no memory after that.
Can you fight?
I think so, yeah. Why? I thought you said you took care of whatever was doing all this.
No, we did not. We only scratched the surface.
Oh, yes. And he stands up slowly and kind of readies himself and grips his mace. And he's like, I think I can do some good.
Do you know a safe place around here to rest maybe for a bit?
Is the camp still active? Are we in the mining camp?
If you look around, I don't think this is active.
Pretty much deserted and in a pretty rough state, but...
Well, I would say this is probably our safest place.
Yeah.
Let's take it with a grain of salt, I guess.
Guess we should just bar the door and take a rest before we see this through to the end.
Is there room inside this building for my tent?
No.
Is there room inside the other big... building for my tent?
You'd have to go investigate.
I would like to go investigate the big room. Okay. Building.
You walk into the biggest building here at the camp, and it looks to be a storage room, and if you move some stuff around, there's boxes and barrels. If you pushed everything towards the back of the room, you'd be able to set it up in here.
I would like to look inside one of the barrels and boxes first.
So when you open up the door, the wall that you're looking at, the boxes on that wall has just mining supplies and rope. There's a box full of dynamite. There is just pickaxes, shovels, lanterns, oil for the lanterns. Then on the wall that is the same wall the door is on that you came through is food, barrels of water, ale, dried meats, seasonings, cheeses, breads.
Well, I think we live in the storeroom for now. Wouldn't I will call Eston and Cass to start moving boxes.
I am currently going to use cure wounds on.
For the love of God, Cass, ask the cleric.
Yeah, he like he sees you're about to do it. He's like, hey, you want me to like? You don't really look like the, no offense, but the healing kind. I'm really not. He's going to cast Healing Word.
And that's the one you don't need to be close to.
Nope, because it's a word. And he says, you are healed by the power of dwarves. And he's healed for 5. All right, you guys hang out for about an hour, kind of cool down after the fight. You haven't heard that loud growl again.
Oh, I guess we need to go deeper.
Yes.
But we have our cleric now with us.
Yes. And by the way, my name is Malco.
Malco, pleasure to meet you.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I was sent down here to investigate the disappearance. And I'm guessing whatever possessed us was part of it. You guys said that was only half of it, though. Do you know what else is going on?
The start of it. Something very big and very scary is down here as well.
Yeah, we offered our help to the foreman of the mining company, so to say, of Ellingfall. And he let us access into the mine. And we found some of your warriors that were also possessed. We don't know what became of them now, but we need to go deeper to the root of all of this.
Yes.
Well,
would you help us in that?
Of course. It is my mission too. Our missions align together, so
that's good.
Better to work with Forrest, since we don't know where the other or the status of the guards are. So
all right.
Well, I guess there's no time like now. Shall we go deeper into the mine?
Yes.
We're almost to the bottom. We don't have too many floors.
You lead the way, so, you know.
You guys head out. You cross the bridge, you hang a right, and you continue down farther into the mine. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
The last chance you'll probably get doing that, so.
And you guys, there's been, I forgot to mention this, but there's been a rail, like a rail system all the way down for mine carts.
Oh yeah.
As you walk along that path, that's like the main path you guys have been, there's been a track. I forgot to mention that, but there has been one. You guys eventually get to the 103rd level. So yeah, you guys come out on the 103rd floor, and to your right, there's that giant cliffside you've been walking along finally stops. Comes to an end and kind of curves, and then you see that there's these big brass braziers that are still lit and have fire glowing, illuminating some stairs and some cranes. You see the rail system has come to an end with some cranes. What do you guys want to do? Everybody give me a perception check. Perception check, actually.
15. You are so fucking bad at those, Cass.
Kage got a 22 for some reason.
Katrin and Eston, you get a really bad feeling, and you can hear something breathing. Like deep inhales and exhales.
Getting close. There's something here. We best do some sneaking. Kind of roll stealth and try to move on silently.
We have a cleric wearing full plate.
I mean, not every one of us. 21 I rolled.
14. Yeah, that's gonna do it. 14's not gonna do it.
Well, you wait here. I'll just... What?
I rolled a 7.
Well, you guys
stay
here.
Are you moving, or are you gonna wait until Witcher reports? Eston comes back.
Well, I was gonna move with him, but...
Yeah,
I'll just right. not make too much noise.
Yeah, you like start to walk with him, but he Esten's like, hey, stay here.
I will scout ahead and try to find that possibly sleeping creature.
You're walking along the tracks and you're coming up on these cranes that lift like raw material into the mining carts, and then the mining carts would take off in the opposite direction because this is the end of the track. And why don't you give me a perception check?
Mm-hmm. I have dark vision, by the way, just to say when it comes to perception in darkness.
Okay.
17.
Yeah, so the breathing is getting a lot louder, and you can actually see, again, there's no real good way to describe this. You see this dark smoke. That's the best way I could describe it. Like, as exhales happen, you see this dark black smoke, shadow, darkness, like pour out of something, and you can see like an outline of something very big. I mean,
bigger than the Cyclops?
Bigger than the Cyclops. Oh, like, fuck. Two Cyclopses standing each other's shoulders. And it's you, from your perception roll, you can tell this thing is laying down. And that's how big it is, laying down.
Dragon.
How can we not? can we just go back and...
I would like to approach so far as I can to try to see its body.
Sure, you approach more and you...
Do you have a picture of something?
Oh, you're well, gonna die.
It's not okay, so it's not exactly what it looks like, because obviously this is a variant of this creature. You see it looks somewhat like a fiend, but it's just covered in darkness and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Like... It's it's this giant, you see giant four like paws that have these sharp claws on it. You even make out some wings on the back that are folded in. It's got a long tail that has what look to be spikes that go down its tail to its tip of the tail, and then there's like four spikes on each side of the tail going out, like horizontally out of its tail. And it's like resting, sleeping. Think of like a dragon's head. It's not a dragon, but think of like a dragon's head and a long snout that, I mean, you can't tell if there's fangs in there, but you would be safe to assume that it's filled with sharp fangs.
All right.
But yeah, again, it's like you can't really make out skin. It's more more materialized than the Heim was. But it's got like this armor of shadows and darkness that just kind of like looks like a waterfall, and it's just pouring off it ever slowly.
All right. I would return back to the group.
Okay.
To report what I've seen.
Reveal the rest of the map for you.
We definitely found what we came here for. It's a huge beast.
Okay.
And I describe it to the party as the DM just did. It's sleeping now, currently. We need to deal with this one way or another.
I mean, have you never heard the phrase, let sleeping dogs lie?
But that's not what we came here for.
And Malco speaks up and says, if that thing is a danger to Ellingfall, we need to kill it.
Why don't we just collapse the mine on it?
Looking around, looking up, there's no way to do that. Unless you had some, like, the spell that you can make Earth move, which is like a level
mold earth,
or something like that. Like, there's no way you guys can bring this cave down. The ceilings are too high; you can't even see the ceilings.
Not even with that dynamite we saw.
No, there's no structural supports or anything you could blow up to bring the ceiling down. There's no way to get to the ceiling because you don't know how high the ceiling is.
Out of the box thinking here. How much TNT was in that room?
A box full, a crate full. So
what if we...
I would say like 30 sticks of dynamite.
So what if we put carried the box as close as we could to it? Soon as it hopefully wakes up and comes to us, we detonate the bot, effectively killing it.
I don't think it's going to kill it, even if we set it off.
It's, I mean, 36 TNT sounds like a lot of damage.
It would do a lot of damage, yes, definitely.
But it's not going to kill it.
No, but, I mean, we need every advantage we can get, but I also fear that it would destabilize the areas that that we are in here. You know, then maybe we have more problems afterwards because of crumbling rocks and stones.
Can I make a perception check, see if I can lean over the edge and see how deep this pit is?
Again, it's you can't see the bottom. You have no idea.
Why don't we just lead it over the edge?
Well, it wouldn't exactly cooperate on that.
No.
You could also remember I described it having wings too.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we wouldn't know for sure if it's dead or not. We need to bring proof of its killing.
How the hell are we going to bring that back to the surface? Minecart. Not to
bring the whole body, but...
Not the whole body, but just a piece of it.
Malco speaks of it as like, we don't need to bring the whole body. We just need like a part of it.
How big is a minecart?
As big as a minecart is. A typical sized minecart. Like, you, all three of you could fit in one standing, but you wouldn't be able to fit in it sitting down.
So its head wouldn't be able to fit in one?
You might be able to get it in, like, depending. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, its head is larger than a minecart, but maybe you could, like, rest it on the top of the minecart. Maybe. I don't know. I would say that is the least of your concerns right now.
I think, does it also have three eyes like this fiend used to?
You can't tell.
Because I was thinking, we position ourselves in positions of our choice and hide, and I go up with my sword sneaking as it is sleeping, and I just stab out one of its eyes as it's sleeping, and then we begin combat to cripple it a bit before combat really erupts.
As you guys are talking, the creature adjusts in its sleep.
Well, eye is as big as you. If not
I
bigger.
Would like to take out my both. So I've got one quiver on, which has got silver arrows. Take out the other quiver out of my backpack, which is my regular arrows. So I'm dual quivered. Holding bow in hand, putting my backpack on the floor. Only thing I've got on me is a grappling hook, which is around my belt. Okay. Health potion, 40 feet of rope, which is literally wrapped around me, like in the crisscross
me. Yeah.
Short sword, hunting knife, both quivers and bow. I've taken my cape off, cape's on the floor. Okay. So I'm light as I can be. I'm going to basically tell Kage to stay here. If anything happens to me,
You grab my
journal out of here and you make back to the farms. You don't come help me, nothing. If I go down, you grab the journal and you leave, because this is going to be bad. And I'll turn to Catherine and Estan and Malco. I'm like, right.
Yeah, Malco, if you can support us with any healing magic in that fight, would be very appreciated.
Yeah, of course. If you guys want me to stay in back, I also have some ranged attacks as well.
Yeah, do as you see fit, depending on the situation. I will try to draw its full attention and maybe try to mount it again, cripple it a bit.
How tall are the cranes?
They're about 30 feet high.
Okay.
So pretty tall.
So it's just tactic wise, seeing this through. Malco sits in the back
that much time.
And does what he can do healing and damage wise. Catherine, you do the same with your fireball. You basically burn that thing to a crisp best you can. Witcher, Estan, you need to be in there and you need to put that purple thing you put on the floor down. What do you call it again? Yeah.
I don't think it's large enough to keep it from moving entirely.
Okay. But as long we need any eventuality that can slow it down best we can, and I will climb on top of a crane and put down arrows as best I can.
Yes.
How much does this creature weigh?
A lot.
I don't think we have any idea on that.
Damn it. I can't use
levitate. So much. It's so dense.
I think that's our only option right now. We need to catch it off guard before it wakes up.
Yes, we go now, but remember, none of you should get into melee with this thing. It would most likely destroy you, if not me.
As you guys are talking more, it wrestles for a second time, and it's like,
yes, we should go now, guys.
I outreach my hand to Witcher, shake his hand and say, this goes bad. It's been nice knowing you, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. Same with you, too.
Princess? Just...
Don't.
I mean...
Don't.
Yeah.
I have not come this far to die in a bloody fucking mine.
Catherine, neither did we, but...
That'll do, pig.
Is that'll it pig. Is it bad when your DM's just as nervous as the players?
Oh man, dude, I'm ready. All right. I'm
before
still,
you guys so. Give you, I'll be nice and give you guys the reaction because it is sleeping. Let's just go ahead and roll
you
our
mean surprise.
Surprise round. Yeah.
All right.
Let's go ahead and roll initiatives before we.
Let's
everybody's
go.
Everybody's ready. Cue the battle music. Okay. Surprise round initiates. You guys have been traveling together for quite some time now. You've been fighting together for quite some time now. You guys are in sync with each other. As Esten raises up his sword and stabs it into the eye, the creature rears up and screams, and the whole cave shakes. Then a firebolt comes and hits one of its other eyes, and an arrow comes flying in. Doesn't hit the eye, but hits next to the eye. So, Cass... roll your damage.
Oh, nice, nice.
So all together, you guys effectively did 1939.
Remember,
39. That's 40.
It's a silver hour as well. Remember,
49 plus 3 is
51, 52, 53.
No, it's 52.
Yes.
Okay.
52 damage.
As it rises up, Esten. Strength saving throw, please.
All right. Natural 20.
You're rising up with the creature because your sword's stuck in his eye, and you put both your feet on its face and push off and do a backflip off and land on the ground.
Nice,
and it is
nice.
Effectively now towering over you guys, and combat begins. Cass.
I will loose an arrow to try and take its eye out again.
Okay. Roll So it effectively, I will say, it effectively has lost sight of two of its eyes.
On the same side.
On the same side, yes.
So, I'd like
so
to roll
that was the left
three.
Side
yes.
that was being attacked?
Okay. Yes.
The creature's left side, yes.
Yeah, that's not, Tin's not going to do it. You rack an arrow and let it loose, and it comes in, hits him, and just breaks.
Don't you have extra attack?
Yeah, I was about to say that extra attack, gonna fire another arrow.
Yeah, nice. 21's gonna do it. It as it's standing up, there's a soft spot in its like its shoulder, its front shoulder, and the arrow sinks in, but it's like stabbing a bear with a toothpick. Okay, next is the fiend, and it's gonna swipe at you, Witcher, with its giant
right.
claw. And I hate to say this. But I just rolled a natural 20.
Oh. He just slaps me all across the cave and I'm done.
That's 14, 24, 26 damage. Yeah. And why don't you give me a dexterity save to make sure you don't go flying across the floor?
26.
Yeah, you're good. Instead of coming sideways, he comes straight down and just slams you into the ground. Oh. You're not prone, but.
God damn it.
That's its turn. God, yeah. Good thing. I just rolled 4 d10, it could have been a lot worse.
How about that support, Malco?
it is Malco's turn. Malco's going to move around the cart that he was kind of not hiding behind, but standing next to, and then do healing word. 12.
Well, nice.
For 12. 12 points. Healed. All right, and that's his turn. Yeah, that is going to be his turn. Esten, it is your turn.
He's just barely standing, leaning on his silver sword, and from his belt, he downs a potion of swallow.
Very good.
To help him in that at the end of your turn. Okay, 26. So at the end of my turn, yeah, I will try to with my sword two wide swings below it to try and get his belly, if I can reach it even.
I don't think you can reach his belly. But
the claws?
His all four of his claws, feet, paws, whatever you want to call them, are on the ground.
Yeah, then I will attack this one.
And they're, I mean, they're like five of you. If you took five Estens and put them wide, that's how thick is each claws. Each leg.
I'll just do some sweepings at them.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, first one hits.
10. 11.
11. So yeah, you go running under it and just like take a slice at its front paw. Hey, you cut fairly deep. You can see it's bleeding. Okay, Katrin.
Oh, it's time to get this fucking bitch go boom.
Oh, yes,
I would like to
do.
Send, first, I would like to use Scorching Ray.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
That's a one.
Fuck.
That's a 9.
Oh,
that's an 11. God. None of those
hit. Don't you get to reroll ones?
Yeah, to a 2, and it's only on damage.
Oh, okay.
So you send all three off, they hit it, and it just looks at you.
Hi. And that's my turn.
Oh, okay. That's not great. Cass.
Okay. Silver arrow to the eyeball.
Okay.
Yes. Keep
Silver
on the
arrow
eyes.
To the eyeball.
An 11.
Come on.
It's not going to do it. You got another attack.
Second
yeah?
attack. Silver arrow, eyeball.
That's going to do it. You send off two arrows. The first one just isn't on target and it hits like the top of its head, which is armored, and just breaks again. But the second one goes deep into it and it sticks into its eye. The other arrow, but you don't know if it's blind from it or not.
I'm gonna keep going. That's what.
Yes, damage. Yes, please do.
Can I use a bonus action, or is that my extra attack? Oh, I can use bonus.
No, that's
no bonus. The extra attack is just an extra attack.
Grappling hook.
Okay.
Wedge to the top of the crane.
Okay.
And the other end of it tied to my waist because it's a 25-foot rope. 25-foot rope. 30-foot crane. I should be 5 foot above the ground. Cut the rope, roll, run away if it runs after me.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Easy enough to do.
Nice.
Easy enough to do. Yeah.
Done.
You're like all Legolas standing on top of this crane's beam, which it's big enough. Like you don't need to like make balance checks or anything like that. But if like the ground was to shake, yeah, you might fall off kind of thing. So yeah, good turn.
You're thinking
good
ahead
turn.
There.
I like that. It's the fiend's turn now, and it's going to just sprint at you, Katrin. Not even. And you get an attack of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Eston. But it doesn't even care about you anymore. So make your attack real fast. Yeah, that
25.
Does it.
25.
You get its back.
17.
Like, as it puts its back leg down, you just get a nice, clean cut. And it just charges you, Katrin. Doom. Doom. Every time it takes a step, the whole ground fucking shakes. That's how big this thing is. It's gonna try to swipe at you. You got lucky as fuck. does a 12 hit?
No.
Okay. 12
oh
does
my
not
God.
Hit. It's running at you, and the two cuts on its front right paw and its back left leg. Is it kind of puts too much weight on its front one and kind of stumbles a bit and tries to take a swipe at you with the other one, but you see it coming and you just somersault under the swipe just in time. And the stag lights, whatever they're called, behind you get hit and just crumble and a bunch of it like falls on you, but you don't take any damage or anything like that. And that's its turn. Malco. Gaddy bolt.
Imagine the next attack if it hits.
13 doesn't fucking hit. It doesn't hit. I mean, it hits the creature, but it does no effect whatsoever. It just hits. The magic hits, and now it looks over at Malco and just screams in anger. Eston, it's your turn.
All right. I turn around and run towards it and try to cut off its tail.
Yeah, tail is definitely like the lower part of the tail is definitely reachable.
I can reach that, I guess.
Yes, you can. 18's gonna do it. 9's not gonna do it.
All right. 17.
Yeah, so you come in and you like slide on your knees and get the underside of the tail and like slide under the tail, and now you're on like I'd say put you like over here. Right there. I don't care about your movement speed. This is cool. You slide on your knees and you just like cut the inside of the tail, and you get pretty deep, and blood just starts to kind of like pour out of its tail, and it screams out in pain. For how much is that? 17? Nice. Katrin, it's your turn.
Fighting hands.
All right.
That's 14 damage. Let's see. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's 14 damage.
Sweet. Yeah, because there's no DAC save in that, is there?
That's just 14 damage.
Okay.
It's just damage.
You run up to like the leg that's closest to you and just fucking ignite it. It's not caught on fire, but it definitely, you definitely can tell it was effective.
End my turn because I can't do anything else.
Back at the top of the third round, Cass, it's your turn.
Do I see its eyes?
Yeah, from where you're at. It's looking at Malco, so it's looking over in your direction. Yeah.
I'm going to fire an arrow. So it's had both its left eyes damaged.
Both left eyes are damaged. I'm not going to let you know if it's blinded or not. Nope, they're not closed.
Okay.
They're damaged. There's blood coming from both of them.
The top right eye has got an arrow in it.
Yep.
So I'm going to shoot another silver arrow at the bottom right eye this time.
Okay.
This time using sharpshooter.
Okay. Take five off whatever you get.
Five.
Oh.
15 does not do it.
Oh my god.
Okay, then I will just use my second attack again. Yeah, do I
don't always need to take sharpshooter?
No, I don't. Then I would just fire it without sharpshooter.
Nice.
22 will do
you
it.
Should have taken sharpshooter.
Your first, you in rapid succession, you just boom, boom, fire two arrows off. The first one breaks against its skull, but the second one finds its mark in the bottom eye.
How far could you throw a firework? Theoretically.
Depends on how good you roll. But I'd say on a natural 20, probably like 60 feet maybe.
Okay. I would like to light and throw the bonus action if I'm able.
It's not a bad idea.
Hopefully to try and, if it's blind now, to try and distract it and charge that area. So what do I roll for that?
An athletics check to see how far you can throw it.
Ooh.
That's a natural
you pull out one and the wick of what you light kind of broke in your bag. It's a little shorter than you expected it to. And as you light it and cock back to throw it, it explodes in your hand and you take 15 fire damage.
Oh, yeah. Don't play with explosives.
Isn't there a saying, be careful with fireworks, so you're probably going to blow off your fingers?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Cass literally just did.
Yeah, I'm going to say you lose a finger.
Oh no!
You can pick the finger you lose, but you lose a finger on whatever hand that you were gonna throw with. So whatever you pick, the hand you pick, the finger, just one.
Little finger, right hand.
Okay, middle finger, right hand.
Little.
Make finger. A note of that or something. Little finger. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pinky finger. Yep, gotcha.
Flaws.
Right.
God damn it!
All right, and that is your turn. And as that happens, since you just did a loud explosion in your direction, the fiend's going to look at you and charge you.
Knew it.
And swipe at you.
Do I get an attack of opportunity?
Yes, you both do.
Nice.
Esten and Katrin.
That's a nine for my dagger. Nope.
Yeah, so you guys both try to stab it, slice it real fast, but it just moves too quickly for you. Cass, what's your armor?
14.
You didn't get lucky. Never mind. I forgot to add his modifier. He hits you. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to roll the damage.
And you're going to be a plaything.
Take 17 damage. And you also effectively get thrown off of the crane with the force. It's so hard. Your rope snaps and you take.
Oh, he did.
4 blood draining damage as you smack against the ground. So you took 21 damage altogether.
Damn.
Holy fuck.
I could have seen the goddamn fucking tool like his scrapping hooks like whee! And then just hanging there. It's like poof, 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 poof.
Malco.
Your idea was good with that firework to throw it over there,
yeah,
so it doesn't go to Marco, but
that's what happens when you get a natural one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's what happens. Malco's turn. Let's see. He obviously was watching all this. Yeah.
Yes.
He's going to try to.
He's the support.
Malco's going to run back to the train car to try to get closer to you, Cass. He's going to only be able to make it to there. And he's going to try to, I'm going to roll a very important roll for him. He's going to try to do the sneaking as, oh, he fucking did it too. So the fiend did not see him go here because he's focused on trying to kill you right now, Cass. So he does not know he's there. And how far is that? Is that going to reach? I don't think that's going to reach this turn. Oh my God, it does. You're so fucking lucky. He's going to whisper under his breath a healing word. And that is level 2. Heal for 10 points.
Oh,
something. So that should help you out a little bit. But
your finger does not grow back.
No. Oh no, that's gone forever.
It's gone.
Gone forever. Esten.
DM, I cannot reach him with my movement. So I would like to use the dash action, and I would like to climb onto his back. That's what I'm aiming to do. Yeah. I want to run up and when Gandalf fought the Balrog, sit behind his neck and pierce it with his sword. Okay. That's what I'm aiming at. Could I go there with my dash action?
Oh, yeah, because you get 100 feet. Yeah, you have plenty. The only roll I'm going to make you roll is an athletics check. It's not a very hard DC to beat because there's so many spines and stuff off this creature to grab on and climb, but you still need to make one just in case because it is moving around and doing things. So
17.
Yeah, you're good. You make it up to this neck.
Yeah, I cannot attack right now.
Nope. But you're there.
I guess I'm sitting right behind his neck and try to hold on to the antlers with one hand. And
this doesn't have any antlers. Like I said, think so much like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there are spines, almost like
I would
a dragon
like to hold
going.
On to those. And
there's plenty of things to hold on to, just no antlers. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. I'll hold on to these.
Okay. Perfect. I like it. Katrin. You doing something over there with Quicken Spell?
No, it's just looking because I need to use both my bonus action and action for that. But I'm planning on using my bonus action for something else. But let's see here. Let's try Scorching Ray again.
Okay.
That's 3. That's 10, doesn't hit. That's a 13, doesn't hit. That's a 12, doesn't hit.
All 3 hit it again and just sizzle out. Just doesn't do any effect and it cracks its neck towards you.
Well, now that I have its attention.
That is your turn. You run to the left a bit to get a new position. The fiend does track your movement with its head. Cass,
come at me, bro.
I think I see what you're trying to do.
Come at me, bro.
You're standing on, just for the listener's sake, Catherine is standing with her back against no one knows how deep this cavern is, but she's standing on a cliff. Okay, Cass, it's your turn. You just took a fucking heavy hit, but you also got healed too. So
get to safety.
Yeah.
Well, there is no safety.
It is not looking at you anymore. You do notice that. I'm not going to make you
away from there.
Yeah, so I'm going to run over this side. So has he damaged the crane at all?
Yeah, that whole crane is devastated.
Then I would pretty much run underneath where it was. I'm guessing there's big wooden beams. I'll crouch next to it.
Yeah, there's wooden beams that are half of it's on the mining cart, half of it's on the ground, that kind of stuff. You know.
And then I would like to drink my health potion.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know what it is. Because
it's a D6 plus your constitution modifier.
Constitution is 2.
Okay, so add 2 to whatever you roll. 2. So you got 3.
What's up? One.
You rolled a 1.
God damn it.
But it's better than nothing. You drink your potion and then you ready yourself to dodge any attacks that might come your way. So the fiend will have disadvantage on attacking you if it attacks you on its next turn.
Yes.
And it is the fiend's turn and it's not going to attack you because it's looking at Katrin. And it's going to charge Katrin again.
Straight up, bitch.
And try to take another attack.
Oh God!
Is she it a will, chance attack?
She will fly so hard.
Oh no!
I know you're featherfall,
so
but
I
you
rolled
don't
a dirty
know.
20 to hit.
Yes.
Does that hit?
So a 20. It's only 20.
Dirty 20, not natural. Dirty 20.
Shield, motherfucker!
I thought you had doesn't something
hit.
Like that.
Does not got hit
it.
Me.
You, it like sweeps really low because you ducked under its last attack, and this time you like you put one hand on the claw and like flip over it, like push off with your one hand and do like a flip over it.
Oh, that's cool.
It hasn't have been. Doing
it does
this,
have wings.
Oh no, no, no.
Under certain circumstances that has happened, it now has an extra attack.
Oh no.
But how long does your reaction last? That
well, the last
shield?
Of the turn.
Only last the turn? Oh well, that's the well, same turn. The, so
yeah,
so. That one's a 19, so that doesn't hit. It tries to like backhand you with that same, but you're like ready for it, and you just like flatten yourself against the ground, and it goes like right over you, and then you hop right back
up. That shield lasts until my turn.
Next turn.
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, until my start of my turn.
Okay. Perfect. Malco is going to use another spell slot for a healing word on you, Cass. 12.
Oh, yes.
12 points of healing.
Beautiful. I've been back at full health, my dude. Oh my
Never
God.
Tell your DM that.
Okay. I'm not at full health. I'm really good, my dude.
It is your turn, Aston.
So, yeah, I'm standing on his neck.
Yep. I will give you advantages on attacks. Unless something situational happens.
I want to do one slice. And the second attack, I would stab into his flesh to hold on to as a secondary like thorn to hold on to when it tries to rodeo, like shoot me off. So that's a 23 and
natural
20.
Nice. Damn. Yep. Both of them hit. So roll your damage. So as you should do a lot of damage from where you're at.
Yeah, right on 17.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Wow, what is up with these fucking ones? Come on.
God. Another 17.
So that's 24.
No, 16 plus 5 it is, I think.
No, so the plus is the crit.
Yeah.
The plus
those
one
pluses
is the
are the crit.
So
that's 17 all right.
Plus 17 plus 8.
Yeah. So 24, 32?
Yeah.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you do that, and it like rears up on its back legs to try to shake you off. So make a dex save. I'll give you advantage on that too because you got
because
you're,
of the
you're
sword
holding
that
on
I ran
to
into.
Two different places. Yeah,
20.
Yeah, 20's fine. You save.
Oh, DM, I'm sorry, but I think I forgot to roll the d6 of my potion last time as well.
You did.
I think you did too. So
did
go
I?
Ahead and do that.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll two times. So heal for 6. And then what did you do? 32 damage? Okay.
So it's
you guys could tell that this thing's bleeding a bit.
A bit.
A bit.
And yeah, that's my turn.
Okay. Katrin, your turn.
Good luck. You know what? Let's do this so I can use this. Okay. I'm going to extend two of my sorcery points to turn back into a first level spell slot.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use Burning Hands on it.
Okay.
Here you go. Let's burn this motherfucker for 8 damage.
Nice.
Let's make that a 10 because there's 2 natural ones.
Nice.
Oh my god. Okay.
Making it to 10. All right. Yeah, you extend your hands and fire erupts from your palms and the creature's leg, the same leg that you got previously, erupts in flames. All right. Cass, it's your turn.
Sharpshooter. I'm going to fire a silver arrow into the side of its neck.
Got it.
Bam.
That does not hit.
Shit.
Your arrow flies at its neck, but just shatters upon impact.
Extra attack.
Natural armor.
Exact same place, exact same thing. Sharpshooter as well.
No, same thing happens. Your arrow goes and just shatters against its skin.
It is tempting, but you do respectable damage even without it.
Yeah.
I did damage. Right. With what?
No,
that,
I mean...
Without sharpshooter.
Is that your turn?
Yeah. That's... Movement.
Yeah, movement. Get away from there.
I'm going to make it
You can shoot from pretty far away, actually.
Yeah.
Make can use climb, of that range.
Can I climb into the minecart?
yes, if you haven't used any of your...
I have no movement.
Okay, then no, you can't.
I've used no movement.
Yeah, he has no,
oh,
he
yes,
has no movement.
Yes, you can. Sorry, I thought you said you had no movement. My bad.
My idea is I'm going to try and use the metal arm ring. If it runs at me, I'm going to use the minecart as sort of a shield. I'll just duck down.
Okay.
It won't have to get me in the cart.
I got you. Well, so you think, but okay.
So I hope.
So you know. All right. Is that
send the
your
minecart
turn?
Flying.
That's my turn.
All right. It's the fiend's turn, and knowing that you're on its back, Witcher, it's going to extend its wings, do a couple pushes off the ground, and lift up in the air about 30 feet, rotate, and just fall to the ground on its back to try to smash you.
Oh, shit.
So you need to make a dexterity saving throw, and you fail it. You take
4,000 pounds of damage.
Oh. 27 points of smashing damage, which would be blood draining. But
you guys literally just gonna and get pushed around here.
You just feel like the weight of him just, and you hold on to your sword. It wasn't that bad, and it comes out of him, and he like rolls over to get like back up on his legs, and you're just laying there like, and everybody else needs to make me a dexterity saving throw, because with the weight of that, especially Katrin, yours is really important because you're standing on a cliff that you see a bunch of cracks happen in front of you, and then you feel the platform you're standing on shift down and break off, and it's starting to slide backwards. You need to jump back onto the main part of the ground. Malco and Cass, you have boulders from the ceiling coming crashing down that you need to try to jump out of the way. Oh my God, Katrin, that's a four.
It's a four.
Oh no.
That's a four.
Does it take damage though? Because it land on its back with a sword in it, it's just going to push the sword in deeper.
Nah.
Okay.
Not by much. Nah. Yeah, but thank you.
It would be like 1 or 2 points, maybe.
We'll take
it. If it makes you feel better, I'll put 2 points of damage on it.
Yes, please do.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, 2 points of damage was added from that. Malco needs to make... Cass,
what happens to Katrin?
Hold on.
Yeah.
To that.
God.
Don't worry about it. I'm fine.
Dexterity saving throw. He's all right at him. Yeah, he saves. So a boulder comes crashing down. You have to jump out of your mine cart, Cass, and it crumbles the cart, just smashes it into the ground. And then Malco kind of jumps towards you a bit, and the mine cart that he was standing by also is smashed. Katrin.
Yes.
As I described, the little platform you're standing on, which was a part of the main flooring, has cracked and is slowly falling backwards. You try to jump and you grab a hold of the edge by one arm. Next, when it comes to your turn, you have to make another saving throw or you're going to fall.
Or I have something else I can do.
There you go. Aston's before you, so
there's a reason why I saved one of my spell slots.
Malco is going to he doesn't have any spell slots left. He is going to cast Guiding Bolt again to hit. It does hey. Hit, which is 4d6 radiant damage.
Yep,
come on.
We've
just met you.
12,
come on.
13, this is crazy. 15 points of damage. And y'all also get any attack rolls made until the end of Malco's next turn has advantage.
Yeah, the next attack has advantage on it.
Okay. Aston, it's your turn.
I'm
laying on the ground. You are prone, by the way. You're prone, obviously. That makes sense.
Then I will use half my movement to get up and spit some blood to the side.
As you look up, you don't see Katrin. She was standing on a cliff, but she's not anymore.
You bastard! And I'm slicing at him.
Okay.
Yeah. You took our princess.
You get advantage on both. you get advantage on both your rolls, attack rolls. Both of those are gonna do it. Roll your damage. Nice damage. You
18,
just there's a leg in front of actually
24,
this is cooler. 24
32 I think it is.
Nice. With 30 points of 2 damage, that first cut you made in its tail, you find it and you cleanly cut off its tail. altogether. Nice. And it falls to the ground with a shake. Like, obviously, you didn't cut it from its body, but there's, like, you cut it right in half, we'll call it. We'll say right in half you cut it.
Healing for 1d6, yep. 2 plus 1 is 3.
Okay. Katrin, mm-hmm. you have a very important dexterity saving throw, unless you have something that can counteract having a dexterity
Let's try the dexterity saving throw first.
Roll that first.
That's an 8.
Yeah, that's not going to do it.
Okay.
You're like, you're slipping, and you, as you try to reach up, you grab a hold of a piece, it breaks off and you fall.
Okay, I would like to cast levitate on myself.
Oh, very good.
It's a reason why I saved one spell slot for that.
You
I would like to move
10 feet away from the cliff, like below the cliff from where you were. That's like where you catch yourself.
I would like to move. I need to see something. Give me a sec.
Levitate can only go up and down, I believe.
Yes, I know. But
you are close enough to grab
a hold. How far up can I go?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You're 10 feet down until you have something.
20 feet. Okay, I would like to go 20 feet up.
Yep. 20 feet up would be above where the ground is.
That's fine. That's what I like.
About 15. Yeah. But you're still hovering over a void of emptiness. So there, you have to do something to pull yourself like over.
And then I would like to use quickening spell. And use a fireball. Let's see if this hits.
You were almost my first player
That's
kill.
A 13.
That does not. Fireball hits
one.
Against it and just dissipates. No damage dealt. Cass, it's your turn. You see Katrin just like hovering over a void empty of nothingness. What do you do?
It's concentration. Oh, no.
Nope, I can't. Got some rope.
Yeah,
I do have rope. I've only got 40 feet of it. I can't do anything because I can't get close enough.
You could try to use the dash action, which would still have your bonus action.
Why are you trying to get to me? I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm levitating for 10 minutes here.
Yeah, until he hits you again and breaks your concentration on it.
Well, I can still roll against that.
And if you fail?
Then I will be sent flying from the hit.
So how much is dash? What does dash add? Another 15?
Dash adds another 30 movement.
It's your entire
it's
movement.
Double. Yeah, it's
it doubles
double.
Your movement speed, but whatever, you need to use your action for that.
Yes.
So you cannot go there with the dash action and unless you're a rogue and use
I couldn't do it anyway. I couldn't do what I was gonna try anyway.
Well then maybe try to distract him so he doesn't slam Katrin.
Don't worry about me.
I will run 30 feet down.
I still have full health here.
Like here.
That health won't use you much if you fall into the abyss.
Okay,
don't worry. I still have my shield. I still have shield.
I'm gonna fire a silver arrow without a sharpshooter by casting Hail of Thorns on the arrow.
Okay.
It's 22.
22 hits. And what does Hail of Thorns
do
again?
That does 13 damage, and Hail of Thorns is cast on the thing, I believe it is.
Yeah, click on Hail of Thorns. Click on the Hail of Thorns thing. I can't do it because I'm not allowed. There you go.
7. So that's another 7. So that's 20. That's 13 piercing damage and another 7 piercing. So 20 piercing damage.
But
and it has
does
to,
he
make,
have
a
to make a DC
yeah.
save. Okay.
Yeah.
11. Half damage on a succeed.
Well, it fails.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I rolled a 3.
Okay, then I would use my extra attack.
Okay.
And can I cast Hail of Thorns again, or is that only the one?
I think I need to make a dexterity saving throw because I'm in 5 feet of it.
The creature's massive, though.
I mean, the creature's,
yes, the creature's massive.
I'm going to say you're
I'm aimed at his face
anyway,
yeah.
So... Okay.
Yeah, no.
Because it says, in addition to the normal effect of the attack, the target of the attack and each creature within 5 feet of it must make a dex save.
Yeah,
yes,
no, you're,
but
you're
it's
like
so
20
big.
Feet. Yeah, you're like 20
right.
feet behind 20
feet from
it.
Where
yeah.
my arrow
okay. Yeah, yeah.
I just thought
maybe
because I was because I managed to land hits on it, I thought it would require me to be within 5 feet of it.
Yes, you are, but it's so big. Okay. He's aiming at the... For example, if he's aiming at the hand, that is
yeah,
not
it's
within
not,
5 feet.
It originates from the hand, then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right,
yeah,
I get
it's
it.
Not within 5 feet.
So can I fire another arrow and cast Hail of Thorns. I've
got two. You cannot I don't cast think two spells.
You have,
no.
You can only it once. If it says it requires you to do a bonus action, you can only have one bonus action.
Yeah. What is action. What does it say? What does it take to cast?
I'm pretty sure it's one bonus action.
Bam.
No, it's one action. Never mind. You cannot do the.
You can't do even it. Do it and take a shot.
Wait, that's cure wounds.
Oh yeah,
my bad. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's a bonus action.
Oh, okay, yeah,
sure
you're
it was
good.
A bonus action.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Because all
so but you don't have two bonus actions, but you do have two attacks.
So I will fire.
So you
my
can take a second attack.
Second attack, same place, right inside of its neck again.
Yep. Nope. 10. This one breaks. That same spot you keep trying to hit, you keep hitting the exact same spot, and your arrows just shatter as soon as it breaks, or as soon as it makes contact with the creature.
End turn.
Oh, well, after its tail is getting cut off, it's not really going to look at Katrin, worry about Katrin anymore, and it's going to use its back leg to, like, push, like, try to hit you with its back leg, Esten.
I told you I was fine.
I'm not looking good.
No,
I know. I rolled a 19, so plus 4 to that. Did I hit?
Yes, it hit.
I know, I was like, did I hit? Yeah, I rolled a 19, plus 4 to that. Did I hit?
well, I rolled pretty shit on damage, 7 points of damage, but it's going to try to attack you again. No, I didn't hit with that one. I rolled a 4. I got an 8 total. So, yeah, you get hit once, but you bring up your sword to block it and you just get pushed back mainly and just from a bit of force, but you readied yourself so you don't take a full impact of its full strength, and it tries to just do the second attack, but you're in a defensive position so you just dodge out of the way really fast and it misses its second attack on you, and it's facing you now, so Katrin, its back's turn to you. Malco is has one spell slot left. He's going to save it. He's going to take
the help.
Dash.
Need help.
1, 2.
I don't care shit about this guy anymore.
Could make it
if he
there.
Could get in the fucking tank force, please.
Okay, that's all he can do. Esten, it's your turn. Fiend's facing you. Drool's
I'm
coming
like,
out of its mouth.
All bloodied, and this huge monster rising, standing on top of me, will firmly grab his silver sword. He's not looking good.
Firmly grasp it.
But he goes with it and attacks the claw that he attacked earlier.
Okay. Both hit.
19. Oh. That's
a lot.
31. 37 damage.
With that, you go for the same leg you've been attacking.
Yes.
Constantly. And you slash, slash, slash. Final slash cuts all the way through. And it kind of falls onto its right side. And one of its legs is cut off. Well, at the foot. So, like, right at the ankle, we'll call it, for, like, a humanoid race. Just every slash, just a splatter
for
of blood.
For the princess.
Another one. For the princess.
And then as the monster falls to the side, I see her.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you were dead. I thought you were like, what? You're right. Okay.
Anything
gets
for your bonus action? Also, your healing.
Yeah,
that's your
I'm
last
healing.
Round, I think, of healing.
Yes, it is. The Erden also disappears. It's for 3. Man, I'm not looking good. I will down a potion of white honey to cleanse my toxicity.
Okay.
Remember what you read about white honey last time?
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I have it. I have it here. Regain all your only.
You cannot take another potion for another hour.
Wait, man.
then no. Same thing happened.
No.
I was just saying.
Retracting that statement, I'm guessing.
No. I will down another potion of my of my swallow, and I therefore exceed my toxicity. So if I should get the chance to rest and not die, I will have one level of exhaustion because of that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going with it. It's either that or
dying. Out pretty much.
Dying, yeah. So I'll take that chance.
Okay.
And yeah, that's my turn.
All right, Katrin, it's your turn.
Yeah. What can I do? Well, first of all, I would like to go 20 feet up, up with my
levitate. Up farther? Okay.
Yeah, up farther.
If you lose concentration, you're still not over solid ground. Just to remind you.
I know. I know. Okay. Well, I can't. The thing is, I cannot push from it because it's not. I can't touch it.
No.
So I can't push away from it or pull myself to it.
Yeah.
But I will still go up 20 foot.
Okay. You go up another 20 feet. You're now 25 feet above the ground.
I have a ring.
Okay. You do have a ring.
That I can take off.
You can take it off if you feel like this is a necessary time to do so.
I would like to take off my ring.
Okay.
And I would like to cast Firebolt.
And what happens when Katrin takes off her ring?
Well, I can't control my magic that well.
No,
you so I can't. Tend to get overwhelming.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty fucking hurt. Are you sure this is the right call?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would still like to cast Firebolt on it, Edit.
Yeah. So. And with this, I'll say any spells that do fire, because we've never actually really talked about it.
No, not really.
That's fine. Any fire spells you do, because that's like your flare is fire magic, will have advantage and do double damage.
Okay.
But if you roll under a 10, you have a chance of inflicting self-harm.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's dark as fuck.
Yes.
I think that makes sense for what you've described to me.
Yes.
So you have a chance of dealing double damage and even have advantage. But if you get really bad roll on advantage and you're under 10, you will roll the damage that you would have done onto yourself.
Yes, oh my and it's god. Also the double damage. Oh. That's a 10.
I always do it in player's favor, so you will not take the damage, but you won't also hit the creature.
Yeah.
I do it just like AC.
So like I said, my rolls tend to go really shit if I roll. So,
yeah. So,
even with advantage.
So yeah, you launch off an extra large fireball. A fireball like... I imagine as you slip the ring off, you get like a cloak of fire kind of just engulfs you and kind of forms around you because you can't keep it held within your body anymore because that's the primary function of this ring that your fire magic doesn't get out of control. And that is what is happening. I'm also going to put in a DC of what's your spell modifier that you use? Wisdom?
That would be charisma.
Charisma? Okay, it'll be a charisma check. And after two turns of not having the ring on, it's going to go up. And this will be to see if the ring goes back on, if it's going to stop it, or if you just get fully consumed in your magic. Okay?
Oh, God.
Okay, so that starts after not
this time. Not
your next turn, but the turn after that. And it'll be on your turn at the beginning of every turn of yours. Okay. So we got that all figured out. Okay. Is that your turn? Your fireball, a larger fireball than you've ever seen. And you all see, because you spew out a bunch of light from this. Just a flame erupts around Katrin. Her eyes glow fire. Her hair is like floating. Kind of think of a Super Saiyan, really. Just fire.
Does full damage.
That's how I see it. That's how I kind of see it. You sent like a Super Saiyan. Think of like when Goku or any Saiyan goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah,
it's kind of the exact same thing, just with flames. And so you send off this extra large fireball, but it just doesn't hit in a good spot and does no damage. Better yet, actually, no. The fireball misses completely and crashes into one of the side of the mines, creating a tremor. Everybody needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Well, I'm in the air.
Yeah. I'm not going to worry about you, Katrin. I know that's kind of a lot of people should call me out and say that's bullshit, but I'm not going to because I like where this is going. Cass, you don't get smashed by a boulder, but take 3 damage from just like the force of the impact, because it almost catches you. You like get hit in the shoulder, but you don't get caught under the boulder. So take 3 damage. Aston, you see 2 boulders come. You dodge out of one and like somersault out of a second one.
Ah, nice, nice.
Oh, Malco needs to make one too. But
oh no,
he's running with his mace to come up, and a boulder just smashes him to the ground, and he's caught under a boulder right now.
Sorry,
not a really big one. Like 2 people could probably move it, but he's under a boulder currently, and he takes 15 points of damage.
Oops.
Well, you just killed our healer.
He doesn't have any spell slots left either.
You can tell that attack loosened something in the foundation.
Oh.
Oh no.
All right. It is Cass's turn.
Get the fuck out of here now.
It is Cass's turn. What are you doing, buddy? The ground is now constantly vibrating like a small earthquake as of right now. Not hard enough to like, you can still run and be fine without any dex saves, but it's, you can feel it moving. It's shaking.
Out now.
I'm fucking dipping out. Fuck you guys. Nice knowing you, but I'm out.
I run through here. And I arrow head of thorns.
Okay.
Roll
to hit.
Fuck.
13's not going to do it.
Second attack.
Okay.
The hit of thorns.
13's not going to do it.
The hit of thorns stays on the arrow.
Yeah, though. On the first one. Yeah.
Stays until you hit.
Yeah.
Okay, so hail thorn stays. So I'm out of spell points now anyway.
Okay. So yeah, you send off 2, and like since the ground's shaking, you like were running and didn't position yourself properly before you sent both off, and one misses, one hits right in the middle of the chest and just breaks.
You have concentration for 1 minute, and as long as you didn't hit with a attack, the spell stays on
my next attack.
Yes. But okay, you have concentration on it for 1 minute. So if you get hit, you have a chance of losing it.
Which you did get hit by a boulder, so I'm going to say your concentration.
No, he just used it.
Oh, yeah, but he didn't hit.
No, but he literally used it on this turn.
It holds until I get hit now to my next turn.
Okay. Yes. I got you. Okay.
He just used it on this turn. And he got hit by a boulder before the turn.
Is that your turn?
Yep. End turn.
Okay. It's the fiend's turn, and it's gonna attack you, Witcher.
Is it still prone, though, lying on its side?
It didn't fall. It just kind of like stumbled to its side.
Okay,
but you did take off its paw.
You did take off one of its paws, so it doesn't get an extra attack.
Okay,
anymore. One attack.
Yeah. So
I thought it fell all the way to the side.
No, it just like shifted to the side. Kind of like caught itself, but it's still trying to recover after your last brutal attack, and he tries to swing, but since one of his front paws, or I guess it would have been the rear leg that you would have cut off, either way, it doesn't have its greatest stance anymore, so it tried to swipe with you, and it just is totally off balance. You totally see it coming, and you spin out of the way. You spin out of the way. Good. Malco can't do anything because he's stuck under a boulder. Essen.
Yeah, I guess I'll duck and do 2 slices again on it.
Natural 20 hits, but the first one does not.
Yeah. So that's not that much. 13 was for 17.
17. Still good though. As he tries to swipe at you and you duck under, you get it right across what you'd assume its wrist would be, and a decent amount of blood pours out of it, and it's kind of starting to stumble around a little bit, not be as fast as it was.
I'm also stumbling for I need some healing. It's 3. Yay.
It goes another 20 feet up. I am now 70 feet in the air above ground.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're flowing glowing ball of fire. Just like, what the fuck?
And he has another fireball at it.
Okay, roll with advantage. 17 does hit because you rolled a natural one. That would have been really bad. Because if you do damage on yourself, obviously concentration is broken on the spell and you fall 70 feet, which I'm pretty sure
even more
would kill you as your player's health points. Like
I have 31, but
yeah. Well, it's 10, a 1d10 per 10 feet of falling damage. So, double that. That's 24. So you do 24 and the creature gets, it hits right in the middle of its back and it falls to the ground. Still breathing, but it's prone now.
Nice.
Is that everything for your turn?
That's my turn. I don't have any sorcery points and so I can't use another one.
Okay, next turn I'm going to have you roll a charisma saving throw.
Yep, I know.
All right, Cass, it's your turn.
Well,
what shall you do, my friend? You just saw the biggest thing of fire you have ever seen in your life. It's like a Goku spirit bomb, practically. That's the size of these fireballs. They're almost as big as the fiend itself, is these fireballs that Katrin's producing. And she's like floating in air looking like, there's no better way, a fucking demon, because it's just flames. It's crazy looking. So take that as you will, but
in awe.
Also, the ground is starting to shake a bit more aggressively now.
Fire. The fuck out of here. I would be born in flame.
And actually, give me a perception check real fast before you
like
do a turn.
Like a phoenix from the ashes.
I will be reborn in flame.
you hear a and you look over, you see a giant crack just going up until you can't see it go up anymore, up against the mine wall. To your left. It would be like the wall that's over here to your left. It's super far away, but you see this big ass crack going up.
Oh.
And it's moving fast.
I feel like there will be one.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Get the fuck out of here.
Maybe.
I'm going to run 25 feet. Very specific number.
Okay.
Because it puts me standing next to this rail.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
And I am going to...
You get advantage because it's prone. You can't see its face, though.
We'll go with... What do I see?
Practically the whole left side of the body.
Is that the side his leg got cut off?
No, right side. It's the...
Okay. Then I would like... It's not going to do fuck all. To put two arrows into...
It'll have Tail of Thorn on it.
Yeah, two arrows into its front left leg.
Yeah. Yeah, like its shoulder part. Like
under the armpit, if I can. Under its armpit.
You can't really see that because it's laying down. Yeah.
Okay.
It's on its stomach. So you'd have, like, let's say the torso. So, like, rib Flexy area, ribs. Stomach Flexy area. Ribs. Okay. Yeah.
Then I'll try put two arrows between two ribs. One with Hail of
That'd
Thorn,
be, like, the easiest shot, I would say. So, yeah, go for it.
That's with Hail of Thorn, 16.
Oh, yeah.
So 16 hit.
16 will do it.
So 16, that's 8 with Hail of Thorns, which is he's doing DC save 11.
But it is prone.
Yeah, I'll give it disadvantage. Even with disadvantage, I will do 20s.
Ooh.
Oh. At least he used them now.
Yeah.
So
so he does save.
8. Plus half, 7, which would be...
3 or 4.
Always round up. So 4.
4. So 12 damage there. And then another arrow going in.
Yep, that definitely hits.
For another 6. So 18 damage total.
It groans, but it's still breathing. But you can... Witcher, you can hear this because you're right in front of it. There's like a wheezing sound to its breath as it breathes.
It's in a bad shape, I guess.
It's the fiend's turn, and it's gonna stumble to get up, which I will allow an attack from opportunity only from Aston.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm 70 feet up in the air, so
yeah, that
you stay down, you please stay it. Down.
Please kill it, please kill it, please kill it, please.
I want
okay,
to.
Okay, how do you
want
to kill it?
Thank fuck
yes,
God!
Yes,
keep this ring.
It had 14 health points. How do you want to kill it?
Nice. I see its head just like rising up, and
yeah,
I run towards it and I jump and I with a leaping thrust into its remaining eye and just
so. Allow me to paint the picture.
Yes.
You are like, you see the creature. This is all done in slow-mo. The camera like pans around the body from the arrow shots and it sees you. You see it like slowly getting up and you run and you leap. And come straight down into its eye, which you go so deep that you push the eye back into its socket. You feel bone break and your blade keep continuing on into its brain. And you're like, your arms are fully into its eye socket as your blade sinks into, breaks through the skull and sinks straight into the brain of this fiend. And it sways, drops with a shake of the ground. Combat is over, but you guys have a collapsing mind to run out of.
And
now.
I still have one charisma save I need to do.
Yes. Why don't we just go ahead and make that out now that we're out of combat, even though you guys still might not be out of this.
So I see it less like half of his arms are in jelly.
Exactly.
It's a...
yeah, it takes you a bit. It takes you a bit. Yeah. Yeah. You are disgusting right now. You are nothing. There's not a clean part of your body right now. You are covered in blood, vile. It's nasty. Katrin, give me a charisma saving throw.
Don't you die now.
That's a 9. Oh my fucking god. I have +6 to it.
You, it's not too hard yet because it's the first round. Yeah. I'll say this. You put the ring on and it controls it, but you see a crack appear in your ring. Ooh. So the ring is now not as effective as it has been.
Oops.
And we'll talk about what that will do later, but right now, you guys need to figure out how to get out of a collapsing
mind. I'm still 70 feet in the air.
Yes, you are.
How
and
can I see the top?
Rocks are no, you can't. Rocks are starting to fall from the ceiling and crash around everybody.
Well, I need to get to
you have Malco stuck under a boulder. You
Fuck
are 70
Malco.
Feet. Well, whatever. You are 70 feet in the air. What do you guys do?
Well, I'm starting to descend as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that takes about 15 seconds to do.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm even make it easy for you because I did say that you are still very close to the edge. You could get to a part where you could like grab a hold and kind of like pull yourself.
Aston is there.
Also, yeah, I mean, but you are close enough if you just level yourself.
I will.
Okay, so you're back on the ground.
So yeah,
then I start running.
He will just look around, see what's going on now, sheath his sword and sees here Malco moaning under the boulder, and
I'll go over and help as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you guys get there, both of you make dexterity saving throws.
Right.
Ugh. And strength saving throws.
I would get healed for another d6.
Okay.
That's 8 dex.
That's 7 healing for me.
Wait, a strength save?
A dexterity, and then a strength saving roll to try to get the boulder off of Malco. I guess that'd just be a strength throw straight out instead of saving.
Well, athletics check.
I guess we could do athletics. That's not really an athletic thing to do. It's more of a test of strength.
Well, it's just the only skill that has the strength modifier in it.
I'm gonna say it's a straight strength.
All right.
No,
I rolled a
15 athletics
on my dex save.
And okay. I rolled an 8.
Well, dexterity saving throws is for falling rocks.
Yeah.
So, Katrin, you don't get trapped under one, but you do get hit by one.
Hey, my first damage this combat.
And take 15 points of damage.
Oh, that's half damage. That's
it's big ass rock.
rock.
And now you need to make strength throws, both of you, and it's combined. No advantage or anything to try to lift the boulder enough. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, you guys do it. Malco gets out. His legs aren't broken or anything, but he is going to move a little slow. I'm taking 5 foot of movement range off from him.
Come on, we need to get out of here.
Cass, roll perception check, actually. Cass, please.
Yeah, I got you. 16.
So remember that crack I was talking about that was going up the wall? Now it's starting to come, and it has cracked in between you and the rest of the party members. It's not super large yet. It's not like impossible, but there is a crack starting to form, and you can actually see the ground that Esten, Malco, and Katrinar start to literally move away from your side.
But guys, you gotta hurry up. You're starting to move further and further away from me. The whole side of the mountain's gonna go.
I guess we would help Marco hold his wrap his arms around us and holding him.
He's like, I can run myself. I just won't be as fast.
I'm running.
All right, let's go.
Doesn't
then.
Need help. So you all start running.
I will use my dash action and go 100
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, I imagine this is what you'd consider like in chase or in sprint. So I imagine you guys will be using your dashes every turn.
Yes.
And how this will work is every turn we would roll dexterity saving throws and we would go from there. You all make it to the crack. All three of you, including Malco, roll acrobatics to jump the gap. That he saves. That's you're troll. Fine.
Oh, fucking God.
You're fine. You're fine.
What
too.
Is up with all my natural ones?
It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't too big yet. You all make the gap. Just barely, but you all make it. And you book it. You keep booking it. You get back to that main stretch, right? Where there's a cliff on one side and a wall on the other. And you guys are sprinting as the cave is collapsing behind you. You guys get maybe another 100 feet. Everybody roll me a dexterity saving throw.
25.
You're good.
Do I need to do Kage too?
Esten and Katrin. Kage's a fox. I'm going to say he's
fine.
We'll keep his dexterities with yours. So whatever you roll, it's he rolls. How about that?
Okay, that's
fine. You two.
One thing in my sleeve that I might be able to do. You know about that shield, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a force field around me. And I can cast shield right now. Saving
yes,
me from
that,
one.
That is if something
that's
was
my last. It's my last fucking
don't
spell.
Use it yet because you guys aren't getting hit by anything, but you're getting pushed back away from Malco and Cass by 20 feet. So you guys now have a 20-foot gap in front of you. Like some rocks came and fell right in front of you and Esten, and you guys stopped and then went around it and continued. But it slowed you down a bit.
Okay. I still have that one. It's my last fucking spell slot.
You guys make it all the way back to the camp, the abandoned camp on the 98th level. As you're running past it, you see it crumble into nothing and just falls into darkness. That whole camp, that whole area is gone now. And the ground is still falling behind you. Everybody roll me another dexterity saving throw.
I'm so mad, though. Stop getting me. 15.
I just remembered something that we forgot, but we'll continue.
What?
Okay. God damn. Esten.
I still have my 10.
I have a plus 7 on
it. That was what he was thinking.
Yeah, you have a plus 7, but it's still a 9.
Yep, it is. It is.
Esten's the only one. Esten and Malco. So, Katrin, you catch up to Cass. So you're up with Cass now, but Malco and Esten, you get pushed back another 10 feet and Malco gets pushed back 15 feet. All right. Cass, Esten, if you roll two more saving throws, fail them, you're going to be trapped.
All right.
Just give you a heads up. So you guys keep on booking it. Are you going to stop for the camp for any reason, even though it's crumbling?
No, we're fucking going.
You're fucking going.
I'm going straight.
You're going. You run. You get to the, you were just at the 98th. You get to the 95th floor. Everybody roll me dexterity saving throws. Oof.
19.
Oh, 21.
15.
You all save, but Malco does not.
I'm not helping anymore.
A boulder crashes behind you guys in between you and Malco. No, wait, you would be so cast. Esten, you like really start to book it and you pass Malco. He's a dwarf, so he can't run super fast as is. Yeah, and he also has feet. Minus 5 feet.
So he only has 40 feet dash.
As you know, dwarves are built for short bursts of energy, not sprints.
Not sprints, not marathons. Esten, you hear a loud crash behind you, and you look behind you, and you just see an arm of Malco just sticking out of a boulder.
He's dead.
He's dead. He's fucking super dead.
He
got squished.
Yeah, he got squished. And then even after that, the floor breaks, and you see a smashed body fall into blackness and disappear.
Oh no!
And you like look as you're running, but keep going. Like, if you guys were to stop, that was you're our only dead.
Proof that there was a monster down there.
Yeah, well, nobody took anything from the monster.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the guts of
we
it.
We have proof. I mean, you're on the covered in blood. Esther.
You're covered in not human
Esther
blood.
Is,
you,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. covered in it. We I have guess, proof.
If my appearance is not proof enough, I don't know.
Yes. Okay. You guys get back to where those five guards were, and they're like, they're normal now, and they're like, see you guys running. What do you do?
Run,
they're not gonna
run,
try to attack
run.
You. They're like, like the tunnel like falling behind you guys, like the mine collapsing on itself. They're like, oh fuck, and they drop all their weapons. Like you see some of them like try to take off armor so they can run faster. You just see a swarm, like a group of dwarves, four dwarves and a miner, so five dwarves just booking it, and you just see armor flying up in the air and weapons flying off to the right, the left, and they're just All right, all you guys make a dexterity saving throw. I'm just going to make a group one for the new dwarves.
22.
Oh my god.
Five.
Rolled a natural one for the group of dwarves. So that bridge that you guys were on previously when you met these first, when they were under the mind control or the possession, I should say, because Heims do possessions. So when they were possessed, half of it just cracks and falls off like, the lengthwise, not like you guys don't have to make a jump or anything, and half of the group, three of the dwarves go with them, so there's only two left now. It's the miner and one of the guards, and they're just
don't look at mine.
Did you guys make another round?
I did, and I rolled a 9.
Don't look at mine.
9, 5, and okay. A rock crashes in front of you guys. So Katrin and Esten, you like all caught up to each other again, but now Cass and Esten got pushed back another 15 feet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You guys get all the way up to the 70th level without having to make any extra dex, but it's still collapsing.
Really?
Yeah, it's still collapsing on itself.
These fucking dwarves.
And we will make our final dexterity saving throw.
I hate you.
13, my lowest.
17. Oh my god, Katrin!
I told you, I hate you!
This is what's going to happen.
I still have shield!
Katrin, you had one, after this, you would have had one more left until you would have gotten trapped.
Yes.
A boulder lodges your leg down and you are pinned.
Oh, fuck.
I'll go back and help
Esten her. And Cass, you are about 15 feet in front. Esten, this happens like right next to you, so you're right there, but the boulder is too big for you to move. It's huge.
Still.
Yeah, I book it back. I turn around and I run back.
Okay.
Can I try Ard to like help push it off her from below?
Roll a group strength, just straight out strength with Esten. You get advantage.
Actually, that's a strength save.
22. Both of you.
Oh,
that's a save. Just strength. Like click on strength itself.
What okay. the what? We get advantage. Was that what was that?
Fuck.
Because you're using Ard to help you push.
So that's so with and a 20 and 14
and a 14, I will say they get it up just enough for you to slip out, but you cannot run on your leg. Your leg is broken.
Oh, don't worry, I'm humping. I'm just hop.
I would like to grab her and like over my shoulder and carry her out here.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to be pushing from behind him, helping him go as
Don't you dare touch my ass.
No, I'm okay. I'm pushing well, the
like,
Witcher.
No, it's you. Like no.
You got it's crumbling around you guys. Like the flooring is falling apart, except for right where you guys are running. It's falling apart right around you, Catherine. You're looking behind you, and all you see is just the mine collapsing behind you three. Make me one more dexterity saving throw.
This is not just a fucking
two of you,
mine.
Cass and Etrin.
This is or, not a fucking mine.
Etrin? I just said Eston and Catrin at the same time. You guys make it. You guys jump. There's a crack that happens right in front of you, and the dwarf and the miner's like, come on, we got you. And you guys leap, and in slow motion, you almost make it the whole way. The miner and the guard grab a hold of you guys and pull you up, and you're all laying on the ground. And
not the beard.
Where you're at is where the collapsing of the mine stops.
Wow.
We missed the goddamn great point down at the place. This is not a mine. It's a goddamn tomb. Run! Run!
And you guys have successfully made it to a safe part in the mine. What do you guys want to do? Catherine, you have a broken, we'll say it's your left leg. Like from like the knee down is broken. Yeah, so that's going to take some time to heal.
Estan, you help her out with this miner. I'm going to run.
Yeah.
To the exit, and I'm
There's miners running towards you guys already.
Because
they
guess
heard
I would,
like.
I would.
You know,
princess carry her like for appropriate for a princess with a broken leg and carry her out of
covered
the mines
in goo.
Yeah, I'm
put
going
me
to
down.
Don't complain, be glad you're alive.
I'm gonna run as fast as I can to try and get to the foreman and inform him what went down.
Well, you're on level 70, and just for ease of things, you guys make it back up to the top after probably I would say at least 45 minutes because it's slow going. You take your time to explain to the dwarf guard and the miner what has happened, and to because like I said, a group of miners came rushing up to help you guys. And you kind of explain everything that happens to them, and you get back up to the foreman. And everybody heard the screams of the fiend, even up in Ellingfall. Like it echoed throughout the whole cave. So they're like, you guys come out to the entrance of the cave, and there is nothing but town guard for as far as you can see, because they are expecting a monster to come out. And they see you three come out of the dust and
broken leg, walk over the blood, me missing my pinky. Yeah.
That
and,
you did it to yourself.
You see the foreman and like one of like the captains of the guards run up to you. What was that sound? Are you guys okay? You look pretty fucked up.
We are.
And you see the guard captain say, clerics! And three clerics run up to you guys and start to attend to your wounds and stuff.
Take her and I hand over Catherine.
You
point
set her down.
I point to the foreman.
Yeah.
And I point to Eston. Is that proof enough?
I'm like standing here with still some parts of jelly on my arms.
I would say so. I would say so. That's plenty of proof. Let's get you guys into my office, and we'll get you to start. The clerics will start working on you.
I am sorry to say this, though. You don't have 103 floors now. You only have 70.
Heard the cataclysms start to
it was some kind of fiend, but it's dead.
Fiend?
Yes, a very large and dangerous being.
Big motherfucker.
You guys killed it?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, well either way, let's go in and we'll get you guys some water and get you started patching up and stuff. And he brings
you
guys into where you guys met the foreman and sat you around the same table you guys talked, and the clerics start to tend to your wounds. And another dwarf comes out with a big pitcher of like water for you guys. And
is there a master cleric here?
The clerics that are working on you guys are, pretty.
So you wouldn't happen to have a pinky lying around, would you?
Oh no, sorry, we don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say this to you, but unfortunately, Marco didn't make it out. He helped us slay the beast. We wouldn't have made it without him. But as everything collapsed around us, we just ran and he was smashed by a boulder. Couldn't do anything about it, sadly.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have made it out of there.
Yes, yes.
That's good to know. He was always a very strong-willed, even for a dwarf, like very strong-willed person.
Yeah.
What happened to him? Like, obviously he went disappeared, but you found him.
Yeah, we found some of your people. They were possessed by another monster that was down there, but we killed that. So that influence was broken. But what caused the whole problem was some kind of a very big fiend, bigger than anything I've seen, that was lying or had its lair all the way in the 103rd floor. But we killed it, but it was a tough fight and it caused everything to collapse. So everything below level 70 is gone.
Well, that's fine. The foreman's there too. And this is actually the foreman talking to you. The clerics aren't really making too much conversation. They're focused on trying to heal you guys and tend to your wounds.
My pinky up with
cloth. The foreman's like, well, you know, whatever. I mean, job security, I guess. Like, that's great that you found out what happened. And oh man, I can't even imagine. And as he says, imagine, you hear a doom, doom, doom. For the King of Ellenfall, you hear outside, and the door opens, and it is the king.
Well, at least I get to speak with him now.
And he's in full plate armor, very dwarvish king-like, has a key, like a crown of just a bunch of jewels and gold. He walks in and says, you three, the three that slayed this supposed monster?
Yeah.
And he walks up to all three of you, and he says, and he bows to you.
Whoa,
and says, shit. You have my most thanks. I've been trying to deal with this in my own way, and I will admit that us dwarves can be thick-skulled at times, and I didn't even think of bringing in outsiders. Luckily, my brother here, as he gestures to the foreman, thought more wise of me and brought you all in. If there is anything I can do, please let me know. Ellenfall is at your disposal.
Well,
good to hear that, Your Majesty.
I have some...
We need to talk.
Some things I'd like to discuss with you.
I would say you guys probably would like to rest before we have this talk. Why don't you come to my castle tomorrow evening? I will make a huge banquet. There'll be food, as much ale as you can drink, finest wines that there are in Vavengula, and we can discuss whatever you would like to discuss. How does that sound?
Very good. Very good. Very good.
Well, what is the inn you guys are staying at?
What was the name again?
I forgot too. Hold on. It was called the...
On level 3.
It was called the Ore House. That's right.
Yes. It's the Ore House.
I will send a messenger there to have their finest baths and food and wine set for you.
Yes.
You would like to take a bath?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mostly at you.
I am. I don't have anything to change. It's how it
is.
I
am not like the King of Evercroft. I do not need you to be in court attire to come talk to me. Your armor would do just fine.
Well,
but
that is,
I imagine,
glad to
you
hear.
Probably would like to clean up at least. I mean,
yes,
you smell
for
awful.
Sure. Yes, like I do. We all
inside
do.
Of this creature more than killing it from the outside. So I will send a messenger. I will get your bath set up. Everything will be paid for. I will compensate you for all the money that you have spent in Ellenfall, including any stables for horses. I will pay for your inn and reimburse you on top of whatever my brother has promised you. He leaves, before he leaves, he's like, I am looking forward to getting to know you guys a little better tomorrow over dinner. With that, I have some things I need to go take care of.
Yes,
he leaves.
Thank you. See you tomorrow, Your Majesty.
Stay before you leave.
Yes.
Can you send a messenger to Evercroft?
Sure. With what news?
With news that we are still alive.
Okay, who am I sending this to?
To the King of Evercroft, please.
Okay, I will get right. I will have a messenger get there as quickly as possible.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
So he leaves. We'll just say you guys kind of fill the foreman. He thanks you very generously. He pays you the 800 gold. You guys leave. As you guys left, it's nighttime. It's probably like 10:30 at night.
Yeah, he pays us 600 gold because he already gave us 200 of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. 600 gold, 800
just
gold.
To be fair, you know.
Yes, yes.
Now you got to share 800 between three.
So when you guys leave the foreman's shop, you're walking through the streets of Ellingfall, and anybody you pass, like, looks at you. Some might stop and shake your hands. Some might just say thank you as they pass by. It's you guys definitely kind of become the heroes of Ellingfall in a way. You walk into the tavern and it's full of people and they just all cheer and start cheering and banging mugs on the fucking bar and just cheering for you guys. The bartender says, now, yeah, I know you all want to hear the great tales of these fine fighters that we have been blessed that have come into our town and has cleared the mines so everybody can go back to work. But as you can see, they are very dirty and very smelly, and there are baths waiting for them. So move aside, everybody. And there's like a little opening that moves aside and he gestures to you guys to go to like the back part of the place where it's like the bathhouse.
Hobble on my...
Yes.
Not that broken ankle now the because clerics, I can heal, but still. I mean,
your leg's still going to take some time to heal. And they
maybe they gave you a walking stick.
They gave something. You like a really fine like wooden and brass walking stick to that like you could put under your armpit and like walk. So it's almost like a crutch, just a single one. So
I just
you have that to help you walk.
Just kind of awkwardly look at Cass. I mean, you know, I'm not much used to such fame and attention by so many people.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I'm not either. Well, I really
you did good. I need to say that I'm glad you and we are all still alive.
Just roll with it for now.
All right. Wish there was a tree I could hide in right now, in all fairness.
And guess we go have a bath.
Yeah, go have a bath. I'm going to fast forward to the dinner with the king. Nice. Bellingfall. All right. You guys, would just spend the day relaxing, probably. Resting up. Witcher, because you had that exhaustion, maybe you spent the day resting.
Yeah.
To get rid of the exhaustion.
But I'm still attending that banquet.
Yeah, right. Which is tonight. And yes. like the king said, you guys don't need to come in fancy clothes or anything. Just as long as you're clean and don't smell like monster goo, that your clothes will be
I am
just
still
fine.
Dressed in my finest clothes I have on me while traveling.
Right on. So you sit down with the king of Ellingfall. There's not too many people were invited to this. His brother, the foreman, was invited. There's some other dwarfs that are heads of clans, like head of the bigger clans. You see the silversmith, she is there, but that's about it. It's not a huge, like, not the whole town. Well, obviously the whole town wouldn't fit in, the whole city wouldn't fit in the castle, but it's not like a huge banquet, but it's the six dwarves and you guys. The king starts off, he raises a mug and goblet of ale and toast to the heroes of Ellingfall. Everybody cheers, here, and
cheers.
Everybody drinks. First off, you have all of our thanks here. This is the king talking to you guys. You are always welcome here in Ellingfall. And I believe a runner came by with all your reimbursement of the gold that you've spent in
the
city.
Yes, thank you.
Today. Yes, of course. You said there was something you guys wanted to talk to me about. And yes. So
it's regarding it's regarding the trade.
With who?
You I trade have with a lot of people. With Evercroft.
Okay.
Regarding the trade you have with Evercroft.
Yes. It's very, very
we
good
have
trade.
Found that silver tend to harm monsters.
Really?
Yes.
I've heard
as
tales of
the silversmith would likely agree with us on that we made a request for silver-coated weapons.
She did tell me about that earlier today.
Yes. We could get a trade set up. I know silver is not abundant around here. And now that the mine collapsed down up to the 70 floor, it will take a long time. But when you start getting a steady steam or stream of silver coming back in, I would request you to take up, let's put, how can I put this? I'll have in mind that the king of,
Evercroft.
Yeah, Evercroft would love to make a trade for silver, silver-coated weapons to be better defended against the monsters should they come and attack, since they did make an attack on Honey Birch Farm.
Well, I think that's not unreasonable. And now that our silversmith...
She knows how to do it. She did a great job with ours.
Yes, she found it to go a little smoother than she originally thought. So something like that could definitely be arranged. Now, unfortunately, our silver vein was on the 80th floor. So yes, you are correct. It will take some time. But as soon as we can tap another silver vein... yes, I will send a runner to Evercroft and we will talk, me and the king, Volgar, as we have before, and set up an arrangement. But now that you have informed me of that, I think it might be smart if we stop making jewelry with it and try to equip anybody that's willing to pay and ourselves with silver-coated weapons.
Yeah, that's what we want to bring to your attention. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about the monster uprisings that are happening all across the Vavengula Islands, and that also your people are not immune to it, as we've seen here. And we just want to encourage you to work, that Ellingfall and Evercroft work together in their efforts to better prepare your people to be able to defend themselves if need be, so that not unnecessarily lives get lost. And that I also think it's not necessary to craft silver swords like mine, but to use them for spears and arrows, mainly to be a little bit more efficient with the material amount, you know, that would still be very good.
And that distance from the monsters will do a great deal. The silver arrows I could not have asked for better arrows to have been made.
Well, that all sounds great. There's like another dwarf behind the king that's taking like notes of all this, and he'll like gesture to him every now and then to be like, hey, take a note of that, take a note of that, take a note of that. And yes, I will. As soon as we can, that is going to be our main focus, is to find that silver vein again and tap into it and start creating these weapons to who knows, maybe one day we can drive the monsters from the island.
Yes. And if you know Vladimir, retired witcher in your city here.
He does great work here.
Yes, he is a retired witcher, which is a rare enough thing in the first place. But when it comes to like training, I don't know if he would do that. You would need to ask him. But if he would do that, like train your finest warriors a bit about this stuff, about this trade, you know?
That is also a great idea. I know the man loves gold. I mean, who doesn't? But I will definitely.
I think they could greatly profit from his knowledge.
Yes, I think so too. Especially with the experience he has. Not saying you're not experienced. You obviously just.
He is way more experienced than I am.
But yes, he does. Definitely looks like he has the age.
If he agrees, and to wisdom. It, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that is up to him, and no
just
harm.
Just wanted to bring that to your attention.
That is very good. A very good point. Yes, I will. Thank you.
One more thing. You have a trader in town who sells fireworks. You may need to request him to place warning on said fireworks, or you lose a finger. So maybe have him do that as well.
I thought that was kind of implied with any kind of explosives.
Oh, then then I. Oh, okay. Make stronger fuses next time.
I'm sorry for your pinky, but
it happened in the heat of battle. You know how it goes sometimes.
I've missed that pinky. All right.
Hey, think of it like this: it's a great story you can tell your kids someday.
And you still lost
fireworks.
You just lost a pinky. You could have lost a lot more in that encounter.
Right.
Yeah. So, fine food. Thank you for the invitation.
One, of course. Final personal request I would like to make.
Anything. Well, maybe.
Is there any chance that I can get in and get information, or get as much information as you have on certain topics?
Like what kind of topics? Our library is very small.
I'm talking about the race that was here before,
like
the king of Evercroft even came.
Like the people in Belwar?
A race that has purple eyes.
Well, I don't know anything about that. You're more than welcome to check our library, but it's very small, and honestly, it's all on dwarven history.
Then there might be something about a certain type of stone.
Possibly.
That I'm also looking for. Or looking for information on.
What kind of stone? I mean, I'm a dwarf. You can ask me.
What was the stones called again? The stones that
stone
was
shard. Stone shards.
Stone shards.
Like, you tell he's like actually thinking to like traces his memories to see. He's like, I haven't heard of any kind of stone that's called a stone shard. I'm sorry.
Well, it was worth a shot. I thank you for the information, nonetheless.
If you guys have nothing else to discuss with the king, you guys
have
a great dinner. Gets a little late, and you guys go back to your inn. You sleep in, wake up the next morning, you get ready to leave Ellingfall. When you're at the inn in the morning getting all your stuff ready, Catherine, so knock at your door. Actually, no. Instead of that, we'll say you're all sitting around a table having breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And a runner comes up to you and says, are you... she pulls out a letter. Catrin Flamebringer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This is the letter that came from the School of Magic.
Oh, wonderful. I thank you. And I give her one gold.
Thank you so much. Hurries off.
Ooh, lovely.
Do you read it?
I read it out loud to the group.
You read it out loud and it says, Dear Catrin, it's from the headmaster.
Yes.
Thank you for sending your message. And I have looked into this a little bit for you. Unfortunately, from what I've found and the knowledge that I have on these stones you were talking about, he doesn't call it stone shard. We will need to meet in person. I don't want prying eyes to get a hold of this letter. What you're looking into is far more dangerous than you might think it is. Meet me back at the School of Magic and let the front desk know that you're here. State your name and your business. Bring your colleagues along with you, which I don't know if you mentioned you had.
I think I mentioned that I was traveling with a group.
Okay. Bring your friends along with you if they will be helping you along with this research. And I will patiently await your arrival. He doesn't sign it, but there is a stamp sealed that you know it to be his.
Well,
you guys, I'm going to kind of paint a bit of a picture here for you. Well, first, let me ask you guys this. Are you planning on to go back to Evercroft?
Yes.
You guys get your horses and you lead them out of the front gate. Now, the front gate is probably 200 feet away from a cliffside. As you guys are walking out, leading your horses by their reins, you all see the couple you met on the ship standing at the cliffside. And they're just smiling at you. They both, in sync, take a step off the cliff and disappear. And that is where season one, The Chronicles of Vavengula, will end. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to season one. We will return with season two at some point in the future. So I hope everybody has enjoyed season one, and we will continue the story at a later date.
Oh, mine.
I fucking hate you. You left me with more questions than answers. God damn it.
I had to leave it on some sort of cliffhanger.
Yes.
God damn it.